The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Today we've got Dr. Nayantara Hensel. Dr. Hensel is Professor of Industry and Business at the Industrial College of the Armed Forces. She previously served as Chief Economist for the Department of the Navy. She's on the Board of the Directors for NAVE as well as the National Economist Club. She received her BA, MA, and PhD from Harvard University, where she graduated magna cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa and specialized in finance and economics. And she is my very favorite guest, and I think this is our fourth time, I believe. Good morning, Dr. Hensel.
Well, good morning, Mike. It is so good to be on the show. This is always one of my favorite shows, and we just always have a great discussion and a great audience.
Yeah, thank you. And your audience is much bigger now because we're all the way out to Denver and Wyoming, so you're talking to a lot more people now. So
well, that is wonderful.
Yeah, we're really glad to have you on. And so I guess I'll start out with the NAVE report first because everybody's talking about Bernanke. And I guess the bottom line is, based on the last time, is the overall report better than it was the last time?
Yes, the overall report of the NAVE panelists is better than last time. They're forecasting overall positive trends in the economy. They're seeing an improvement in real GDP beginning about in the third quarter of this year. They really are much more upbeat regarding consumer spending, which is consistent with the retail sales data that came out. They're suggesting a much rosier view in residential investment and housing starts, as well as the growth in the Federal Housing Finance Agency's Home Price Index. And they're also very positive in terms of predicting an improvement in the unemployment rate. They think it'll be about 7.4% by the fourth quarter of 2013, and it'll reach 6.8% by the fourth quarter of 2014. And, of course, they don't expect a significant increase in inflation for this year and next year, which is also consistent with the flatness we've seen in the recent releases on the CPI and the PPI over the last week. But on the negative side, the panelists are suggesting an even stronger decline in government spending this year relative to last year, and that could negatively impact the GDP growth. The panelists suggest that government spending will decline by 2.3% for this year. In the last survey, they only thought that government spending would decline by 1%. And the reason why we see this downward revision is that back in February, it was unclear whether sequestration for this year would occur on March 1st, 2013 or not. And I think that one of the issues that could occur is that although the panelists are currently predicting that government spending will decline by only 0.9% in 2014, that could be revised downwards even more when you consider, sequestration may come into play in fiscal 2014. So that's one thing to think about. And the other thing to think about is the substantive concern about whether or not the Fed is going to be pulling back or gradually tapering off on its $85 billion bond buying program. Because, again, I think that, you know, one of the reasons why our panelists are upbeat on consumer spending is because they're very upbeat on housing prices rising. They're also very upbeat on their estimates of the S&P 500. You know, they predict that the S&P 500 will be 1625 in December 2013 and 1697 in December 2014. If, in fact, the Fed pulled back on their bond buying program, there's some possibility that mortgage rates could go up, and that might change the panelists' perspective on the housing market. And also, there's some possibility as well that with the yields actually rising with the Treasuries, it's not going to be a low long-term interest rates. We're less likely to see panelists, flocking into the S&P 500 index and some of the other markets, which currently create a bubble and increase their wealth. You know, one of the reasons why I think panelists are, you know, more likely to be upbeat regarding consumer spending that we've seen in the recent figures is they have, positive investments in the market, investments that are doing well, and they're also dealing with improvements in the housing market and their household wealth.
Now, and do your members, for the most part, see consumers being not paying down debt as much? You know, for the longest period of time, consumers spent most of their extra money; they just paid down their debt. Is that beginning to change now, and people are less likely to pay down debt and actually go out and buy something?
We didn't directly ask them that question, but I think that is definitely an interpretation, and it especially makes sense when you think about the recent retail sales data that came out last week, because you know, the retail sales rose 0.1% last month as the shoppers, you know, shrugged off the risk of the higher payroll taxes, and it follows a revised 0.5% decline in March. And I think, you know, again, a lot of the spending was not on essentials. Rather, it was on discretionary items like electronics and sports gear. So I think it's quite possible that, you know, consumers are, you know, moving away from paying down the debt quite as much as they have been in the past.
Now, you mentioned that unemployment, which is a key factor, it's something that certainly Mr. Bernanke has time and time again used as one of his as his points of reference. And he's saying, you know, 6.5% is what he's looking for. If I understand correctly, by the fourth quarter of next year, you expect it to be down to 6.8. So you're not expecting, or your members are not expecting, a 6.5% number, I guess, until 2015 sometime.
That's absolutely right. And again, that's also consistent with a lot of the other estimates on the part of the Fed and also the other economists, that the jobless rate probably won't hit 6.5% until 2015. So we'll still be on that cusp by the fourth quarter of 2014.
So I would guess we could extrapolate from that that regardless of what the interpretation was of Ben Bernanke's talk yesterday, is that there's unlikely to be a significant Fed change of policy, assuming that he sticks to his guns and say 6.5 is his number. We're not likely to see higher rates of interest until 2015. Is that the way you interpret it?
Well, I think that there is, though, still some possibility on the part of some of the Fed members of gradually and gently trying to taper this off a little bit, depending upon the interpretation of some of the data that's come in. But the problem is that if this, in fact, happened, and if it was a gradual tapering off, the markets may take that small tapering off, you know, with a greater impact than they would otherwise, and that in turn could lead to a very sharp reaction on the parts of the market. That, I think, is the major concern. But overall, I don't think that the Fed sees, you know, a substantive, definite, strong improvement in the economy. That's something that, you know, may happen down the road, and certainly there's a lot of positive signals, but they're not conclusive at this point.
Okay. Now, one of the beneficiaries of low interest rates are housing, and your group seems to be very optimistic. Your headline was, your panelists suggest a rosier picture in 2013 and 14 for residential housing.
That's right.
I mean, that seems amazing to me. I mean, there seems to are people actually really going out and buying houses now?
Well, you know, the existing home sales data just came out today, and certainly existing home sales have improved. They inched up 0.6% in April from a month earlier, so that's certainly a positive sign. There's less of an inventory on the market in general, and that's some of the reason, I think, why the housing starts data was a little weaker last week. And that, in turn, if existing home sales, you know, are increasing, you know, we might see a situation where with the tighter inventory, house prices will continue to go up. And that's certainly what the panelists have predicted in terms of the Federal Housing Finance Agency's Home Price Index.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Dr. Nayantara Hensel, professor in industry and business at the Industrial College of the Armed Forces, and a member of NABE, and we've been going over the National Association for Business Economics this morning, their report, which they do. Is it, Dr. Hensel, do you do it on a quarterly basis or every 4 months?
We do it on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
And we do it basically February, May, September, and December.
Okay. And so we every time we do that, we're fortunate enough to have a member of NABE that represents the committee to come on and talk to us. And this morning we've got Dr. Hensel. If you'd like to ask her a question about what's going on, give us a call. The phone number is 877-711-5611. That's 877-711-5611. But in absence of that, Dr. Hensel, I have a few questions I'd like to ask. And in your report, you did conclude that about 60% of the panelists believe that Greece will fail to meet budget and policy targets. You know, I really haven't heard a lot about Greece lately. The focus has really been on Japan, and they've gotten kind of off of Europe. But I don't think, from looking at some of the numbers, that the PMIs, for instance, for most of the major European countries, and for Germany, France, for instance, are all under 50, which That drop below 50 in China really, I think, is what sparked a lot of the sell-off that we've seen around the world. And so when the Purchase Managing Index gets that weak, it seems to indicate that things are not very good. What is your feeling of the Eurozone and in particular things like Greece and Spain and where a lot of the real trouble has been centered?
I think that that Europe is definitely slowing down, and I think that this is going to continue. And in fact, the members of the Eurozone are likely to end up reinforcing each other's economic downturn due to reductions in trade between the European countries. Now, the Eurozone actually had a negative 0.9% drop here in the first quarter of this year, and what was particularly surprising was the steep drop, worse than expected, for France, which dropped negative 0.7%. Spain and Italy shrank at annualized rates of about 2% in the first quarter. And, Germany grew by only 0.3%. And that, Germany was one of the healthier countries in the Eurozone. And again, a slowdown in manufacturing, much less trade between the Eurozone countries. There's also a lot of concerns about Greece, and that was reflected in the part of the panelists for the NABE Outlook survey. It was actually three-quarters of the panelists believe that Greece would fail to meet those budget and policy targets established by the European Central Bank, the European Commission, and the International Monetary Fund. About 60% of those panelists believe that Greece would still continue to receive financial assistance, so the debt payments will be made as scheduled. But about 16% of the panelists who believed that Greece would fail to meet those budget and policy targets did not believe that financial assistance would be forthcoming and that Greece would actually fail to make those scheduled payments on its sovereign debt. It was only about a quarter of the panelists that thought Greece would meet all the targets and it would continue to make scheduled payments on sovereign debt. And I think that has important implications, if that's true, about whether or not investors should go back into Greece, because we've seen some minor, ripples of investors going back into Greece. And there still is some possibility that Greece may not be able to meet those targets.
If you're not invested in Greece, or Cyprus for that matter, should the average investor really care? I mean, it doesn't seem like either one of these countries is big enough, other than being some type of symbol. It doesn't seem like they're big enough to really impact the economics of the world.
Well, I think that the concern on this would be that if Greece defaulted, for example, in a sovereign debt, and it actually left the Eurozone, that might cause a chain reaction of other countries like Spain and Italy breaking away from the Eurozone and then ultimately losing the euro. The euro could, disappear as a single currency, or there'll be downward pressure on it. The concern would be that with Greece, it could cause a chain reaction that could, end up with a loss of the euro as a single currency.
Would that cause a strengthening of the dollar?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so that would be the play there. All right, let me shift over to the stock market because, particularly for the last couple of months, I mean, we've had such a tremendous market this year. We're up over 17%, or at least we were prior to the day. And there seems to be almost a disconnect between the realities of the economy, which, albeit is improving at a very slow rate, and the stock market, which seems to, as I said, prior to really probably yesterday, just seemed to want to hit a new high every day. As a consumer and as an economist, does this cause you some alarm that the stock market seems to be so robust relative to our economy?
It does concern me because I think that we are seeing some positive signs on the part of the economy. But again, we're not really on a very clear path towards strong growth. We're moving in that direction in some areas. But there's still a lot of issues to deal with about, what the impact is going to be of government spending cuts on the broader economy, whether or not we're going to be able to bring that deficit down. And I think that there is a disconnect between the data that we're seeing, which, again, is weakly positive, moving in a good direction in a lot of cases, like retail sales, and the substantive bubble that we're seeing in the stock market. And I think that it is very indicative of how much of a bubble there is that the stock market did drop yesterday, particularly with the concern and lack of clarity about what Ben Bernanke was saying. And, there's a lot of arguments out there that there's misinterpretation about, which way he wants to step in terms of pulling back on the bond buying program.
And, in fact, I think you mentioned earlier that you feel like he was misinterpreted. What do you think that Mr. Bernanke was really trying to say?
I think that Mr. Bernanke was trying to say that we are definitely on a positive track towards stronger growth, but he really wants to see The unemployment rate closer to coming down to 6.5%, inflation, you know, being over 2.5% before he starts to pull back and tighten up. And when he does this, he also would be doing this on a much more gradual basis, sort of tapering it off slowly.
All right. So, you know, so I don't, there's obviously no significant change ahead then, I don't think. And certainly if, as we mentioned in the first segment, if they maintain their policy of not really doing anything until unemployment drops to 6.5%, then we're a long way from any significant change out there. So do you think that we're going to be pretty much the status quo? Do you think that, not saying about the stock market, because maybe the stock market will come back a little bit into reality, but you don't see a big Armageddon out there, I suppose, over the next year to year and a half. You think our economy will just slowly improve?
Hopefully it will slowly improve, but again, you know, with the cutback in government spending that's going to be necessary in order to reduce the deficit, that does raise some questions out there. For example, you know, military spending is a very important portion of overall government spending. And in the fourth quarter of 2012, you know, we saw government military spending dropping 22.5%. And that actually hit GDP growth in the fourth quarter. Similarly, in the first quarter of 2013, we saw a reduction in military spending by 11.5%. And, you know, this has a ripple reaction in certain states, California, Virginia, Maryland, D.C., even Alabama, northern Alabama. And there's issues also about cutbacks in military contracts because that can impact defense firms. And then there's a chain reaction because people are less likely in those areas to go out and buy things, and that could impact retail spending and so on. So it's a ripple effect, and that's something to, I think, watch out for.
Yeah, and you're very close, and always have been to defense spending. Are we cutting too much? Have we cut our defense budget too much?
Well, I think that, you know, it's tough because there has been so much of a shift in defense priorities, and there's so many things that are going on. Whether it's in the Asia Pacific area, it's an issue of whether or not we should withdraw our forces from Afghanistan to the degree that we are, and it's also an issue of the fact that there has been some holding back on the part of the Defense Department about when sequestration is going to happen. So they've just sort of been, you know, holding. And as a result, there's been a reduction in contracts here in the short term and also less operations and maintenance in many areas, like in ships and aircraft.
Well, I hope it all works out. Listen, Dr. Hensel, thank you so much for being on again. You absolutely are my favorite guest. I hope you have a great holiday weekend, and as I said, thank you so much for appearing for us today.
Well, thank you, Mike, and I hope that you have a wonderful weekend as well.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.